Today, we have something very special for you. And I know some of the kids have been picking up these cards and saying, "Who is that?" And I said, "Well, that's my daughter." And today, yep, that's her back there. She's going to talk to us for a little while and tell us about what she's doing and what she's going to be doing. But before I bring her up here, my wife says, "Are you going to tell them about our son?" And so I guess I should tell you about him. While we were out in New York last Sunday, our son and his wife announced to his congregation that they are not going to stay there. His wife has been given a job in Italy. And her job is to build some sort of organization to deal with the many, many, many refugees that are coming to Italy. If you've seen in the news, just yesterday and the day before, there were a couple hundred refugees that were rescued from a rickety boat out in the sea. And a week or two before that, there were, what was it, over 600 people that were rescued.
In like 24 hours.
In about 24 hours, 600 people that were rescued. Refugees from Africa and the Middle East that are coming into Italy. And so JJ and his wife is going to be responsible for trying to build some sort of organization there to deal with all of these refugees. And then Tim will be becoming pastor, probably, of a church there in Naples, Italy. And so, strange things happening. But anyway, today we have Christy, and so I'm going to give her a few minutes here to tell us just a little bit about her.
Mine should be right after it. There we go. I'm Christy, thankfully, as you all know. Those of you who attend here have seen my picture show up there quite often, though as the kids have noticed, I look a little funny this morning, huh? Yeah? The women in Africa wear fabric tied around their head like this when they're dressed up for church, whenever they're dressed up, like for church. They don't always do this, but when they're dressed up, they'll do this. Go ahead and click it, Mom. For the past 6 months, I've been in France. First reaction is usually, cool, you're going to be in France for 6 months. Not so much, though. I was studying French. The country I work at in Africa is French-speaking, and though all of my students speak English, and the school is completely English-speaking, the area I'm in is completely French-speaking. So my first 2 years in Cameroon were a little bit difficult without any French, so I've spent 6 months at a language school in France working on the language. I'm not going to claim to be fluent, but I've definitely learned a lot. I can actually communicate when necessary now and feel comfortable enough to hopefully use public transit and interact more with the people around me when I go back. So it was a very, very challenging time, but also a huge blessing in being able to gain that knowledge as I move forward. It was interesting. Go ahead and click it. These were a couple of my conversation classes. I spent 5 or 6 hours a day in class just practicing French and learning French grammar and all of that, which doesn't sound like much. And I was wondering how I could possibly keep myself busy if I was only doing something for 5 or 6 hours a day. I couldn't believe how quickly that filled up all of my time. And part of that was this conversation class that we would have every day. And a couple of the months, we got to do things where we would go out into the city and talk to people, or the top picture were actually at a Roman amphitheater that's in the town I was in, so we could do some sightseeing in town as well. Go ahead. I got to get to know some really awesome people there. When I got to France, I didn't have a place to stay at first because the residence hall I was going to be living in wasn't open right away. So I ended up staying with the family that you see in the bottom right-hand corner there. The mom's taking the picture, so she's not there. A missionary family who served in France for, I think, 14, 15 years. So I got to know them and spend time with them and spend time with missionary children in a very different setting than I normally do, and that was really exciting. And also the people in my French classes. So I was studying French in France, but the people in my classes were from all over the world. The girls I probably spent the most time with were these three Chinese girls you see in the bottom left-hand corner. The two that look alike on the outside are twins. There's still a one-child policy in most of China. So these girls are very, very unique in that they have sisters. And they were, they're identical twins. Really sweet girls, don't speak a word of English. So it made it very important for us to practice our French. The other girl in the middle is also Chinese, but she works in Singapore. So she's very fluent in English. So I spent a lot of time with them, just being able to build relationships. The girl in the middle is a Christian, but not a regular church attender. She says a Christian. I'm not completely sure what she believes, but we got to really spend a lot of time talking and sharing what God does and how he is so involved. Go ahead. Lyon, where I was, absolutely blew my mind. Now, who doesn't at some point in their life say, hey, wouldn't it be cool to travel in Europe? But I grew up thinking, yeah, I would love to do that, but only rich people travel. That's always been my frame of reference. But once I got there, which the expense was there anyhow because I was doing the language school, everything is so close together. I mean, driving from here to Lincoln is how much time it took me on a train to go to Paris. I mean, it's crazy. Everything is so close together. These are a couple of things that were just in the town I was living in. It was Lyon was a very important town in the Roman history. And the top one is the Roman amphitheater that was built before Christ was born. It was started like 30 or 40 years before Christ was born. It just blows my mind to realize how old some of these things were. The bottom arena is also in Lyon. It's, you don't see much of it because most of it's been destroyed. In 177 AD, there was a persecution of Christians in Lyon. And many, many Christians were put on trial and killed for being Christians. And this is the amphitheater where they would have died. One of those things that you read about. But when you walk into this space, it's just blows my mind to realize that this is where it happened. Go ahead. I got to do a lot of traveling while I was there, like I mentioned. These are just a couple of the places that I went, and you'll recognize some of them by the landmarks in the background. And once again, they were all so close. You hop on a train or a plane, and you're there so quickly. Go ahead. When I go back to Cameroon, which hopefully will happen soon, I will be in Cameroon, and you probably saw this picture the last time I actually came through. Cameroon is right in Central West Africa, and all of the yellow is French-speaking, which is why I was studying French. I'm right in the middle of the Zentrum, the central province there in the capital city. Only the red provinces over on the side are English-speaking. So this is why I was studying French. Cameroon is an interesting country. It is, like you can see, in the middle of Africa, so it has pretty much everything that Africa has. Yes, we're affected by the AIDS epidemic. Yes, we have deserts. Yes, we have rainforests. All of the things that we use to characterize Africa exist within Cameroon, this one little country in the middle of the continent. So it's a really interesting country to be in. It claims to be a Christian country. If you survey the people, they would, more of them would say they are Christian than anything else. But most of them, well, I won't say most, a lot of the people who call themselves Christians will go to church every Sunday and worship, but then they go back to their village and worship the ancestors. And the parts of tradition that involve worshiping the ancestors, doing sacrifices to the ancestors, and things like that are also still happening. So some of them have not learned to separate. Where do I draw the line? How much of the tradition is okay, and how much of the tradition is worshiping something else? So that's definitely a difficult question that they're trying to answer, which I know is a question that gets asked here as well sometimes, is where do you draw that line? Go ahead. The school I work at is Rainforest International School. It was founded back in the early 90s, specifically to meet the needs of missionary families. Missionary families in Africa usually homeschool their kids when they're little, but by the time they reach high school, they don't have the resources to do that. Here, when people homeschool, they're usually using the internet, possibly other people that are helping them, and often our families are in remote enough areas that they don't have any other support. And once their kids get a certain age, their lives are going very different directions than the local kids in the village as well. So this was founded to help meet those needs, to keep missionaries on the field by serving the needs that those families have. Our kids are not all missionary children. We have probably 20 or 30% of kids from other backgrounds, both Christian and not. And our big thing is preparing them for the next stage of life. And part of that is just straight education. We have very high academic standards. to really challenge them and prepare them for university in whatever country they go to, because most of these kids will end up in university. That's just kind of the mindset. But also to prepare them to move back to a country that their passport says they belong to, but many of them have never really lived in it. Imagine if you had a passport from some country in Africa or some country in France, and you'd visited there once or twice, but you've lived here in Winnebago your whole life. And then when you graduated from high school, you have to move back to this other country that really doesn't seem like home. And many of my kids are trying to learn how to make this new place home. So we do a lot of preparing and discussing what it's going to be like, talking about transition, really just helping them prepare for that next stage. Our kids are normal kids, crazy teenagers, you name it, we've got it. The picture in the top left is my girls at retreat a couple years ago. This is my Bible study group. And if I wasn't there at the right time, this is where they would end up. Go ahead. We do a water park game once in a while on campus, and you can see they're just pretty typical teenagers. Go ahead. Friends, it's a very diverse school. You'll see kids, I mean, just looking, I see Cameroonian, Korean, Australian, Swiss, German, Dutch, American, Canadian, Fiji. You know, they're just, the kids are from all over the place, and their parents are serving as missionaries in West Africa, not only in Cameroon, but the neighboring countries. If you've heard anything on the news in the past year about Central African Republic, it is a country just east of us where rebels have taken over the country. And about Easter last year, I was here at Easter, yeah, because it happened about the time when I was visiting at one point. The rebels took over the capital, and it's still mass chaos. They're on the verge of genocide that would compare with what happened in Rwanda back in the 90s. The French government has sent in troops, but it's still pretty much mass chaos, and people are dying. Many of the locals have moved into the local airport that's under foreign control enough that they're somewhat safe, but it's still mass chaos. And my kids grew up in those countries. So I have kids who evacuated, well, they went home for Christmas last year and evacuated back to Cameroon. Cameroon is safe. And then they went home over Easter and evacuated back to Cameroon. So our kids deal with some of that type of thing as well. Go ahead. About a third of our kids live in hostels, meaning their parents live too far away for them to live with their parents when they go to school. So we become a boarding school. And we have three hostels or dormitories. This is the one that my mission runs. And we usually have about a dozen kids in each one, and it's a family. Uncle Gord and Aunt Denise are the house parents in our hostel. You see Denise helping two girls with homework in the top right-hand corner, and they become brothers and sisters. They don't look at all alike. They're from all over the place, but they really consider each other brothers and sisters as you would in any dormitory-type setting at that age. And they really are a wonderful support network for each other. Go ahead. They eat meals together like a big family, but have Bible studies and devotions together each night. Good. And it's just a really unique and amazing place. I would love to talk with you individually more about what's going on. I have some things downstairs that I'll pull out on the table so you can see, handle, look at some of the things I brought back with me just to get a picture of life there a little bit. I also have some beaded necklaces I brought back. There's a young handicapped boy that a friend of mine works with who is trying to do something to help sustain his family, and he makes little beaded necklaces. And they're just the simple seed bead necklaces, but they're very much like what you see on the regalia here. And so I had him make a whole handful of them, long enough ones that they could be worn with regalia. So if you come and visit me downstairs, I've got about 20 of them. So if you come and visit me downstairs, I'd love to give you one of those to add to your regalia, just something to think about and to be able to, when you see that with your things, to think about Cameroon, to think about me over there, to think about my students, and just the different world that we have over there as well. Thank you so much for being a part of this. I know that this church has supported me both financially and through prayer, and I really, really appreciate that. Please continue to pray that my support will come together. The reason I can't tell you when I'm going back is I don't have all my support yet. The last update I had said I still needed almost 30% of my support. That was a month and a half ago, and I know that there are some things that have come in from them since then, but since we've been snowed in New York, I haven't been able to get a hold of the office and get some answers on that. Hopefully in the next couple weeks, I'll at least have some answers, but please be praying that God just decides to show us where that's coming from, and we'll make clear when it is I'm going to go back and how long I'm going to be here or wherever in the meantime. So your prayers are definitely appreciated, as well as your other support. Thank you so much for being a part of this journey with me.